Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson, and this is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, it is the final event of the year, at least of the season. It's the FedEx Cup Playoff Championship, the Tour Championship, and it is East Lake time. Skeeter, we always kind of start with a look back. Looking back is really what sets the stage for this week, the way this event goes.
Yes, I'm actually slightly disappointed, James. I'm surprised you didn't say we're looking back at the penultimate event.
Well, that was last week's word of the week.
Oh, I thought you would continue that. So my draft, I had 2 out of 3 lineups kind of bubble. Granted, they were very heavily with Scott Stallings. That was probably the reason why they were close. Nice. But man, I tell you what, even yesterday, like Hovland, 6 under, like, all right, you know what, maybe this thing will do something. And then Morikawa, just had a bad round. Cam Young had a bad round. Like, it's every day I had one guy, like, oh, that's a nice round, one guy, boy, that's killing me. And it was nonstop. Like, I just couldn't get the right combination. The only thing I ended up getting right was before round 3 on Saturday, I'm looking like, Spieth's 8-1, he's only like 2 shots back. Well, Cantlay's 10-1. He's 3 shots back. All right. You know, I like the number on Cantlay better, so I put $10 on him at 10-1, and hey, that worked out.
I didn't even end up making bets with the football drafts going on last week, and lo and behold, it probably was a good thing because I probably wasn't going to be on Cantlay, but I surely was in my lineup, so 2 of my 5 cashed last week, and I actually turned a profit for the first time in forever, and of course, that's why golf season's coming to an end, because I find a little light at the end of the rainbow, and there we are, or the end of the tunnel.
Didn't you have, like, a really, really good lineup?
I had one that had Xander, Stallings, and Cantlay in it. Oof. But Tony Finau was in that lineup, and he was okay, but he didn't really pay off his price.
No.
Cam Davis and Taylor Moore, and none of those guys were awesome. They were 44th, 35th, 28th. So, and the fact that what I was really, at one point, I'm just like, okay, what I really need is I need Stallings to win this thing, and I need Xander and Cantlay to be T2 together. Like, that's it with no one else. And I'm like, then maybe I could really make some bucks. I was up in like the 40th place or whatever with like a $200 cash, but $5 lineup cash for 35, which was, for me, it's pretty good as of lately. Oh, and again, I only played 5 lineups, so I won in a head-to-head, and I ended up, winning 60. Like, I almost doubled up on my 35.
Yeah, no, there was a time I think Stallings had a 2-shot lead.
Yeah, I was drafting, so I couldn't really watch, but, I'm like watching on my phone.
And then he just, boy, he, 17, 18, he hit 2 good putts that just didn't fall. Like, the one on 18, oh, that was tough. But, the course looked pretty good. Like, it was playing tough. Like, it was definitely not the 20 under that we had been seeing. But, it was fair, and, I thought it was a good course.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it. I mean, I watched a lot earlier in the week when Adam Scott seemed to be all of a sudden unstoppable again. I thought the course played really well. I didn't think it was I thought it looked wonderful. Of course, I have family that doesn't live. I always have some anchor to some place. I have family that lives close, so I'm always happy to see it in Wilmington, Delaware, in case ever I need to be in town for something. I can work my way over there.
Yeah, I think they're going back to Caves Valley outside Baltimore where they were at last year in 2025, and then I'm excited that they're in 2026. They're coming back to Belle Reve in St. Louis.
Nice.
So I might have to find a way to go down there for that one.
Well, Skeeter, they always hold the Tour Championship at the same place, right? East Lake Golf Course, Atlanta, Georgia. That's where we're headed back, but not with a big field, just 30 players. Obviously with the outcome last week, we have the staggered start. I mean, what do we need to know about this event before we even start to, like, look into how we want to approach playing on DraftKings or wherever else you might play?
I'm going to break this up a little bit. I'll mention the DraftKings portion here a little bit. Let me just kind of go through the standard thing. So it's a par 70. I don't have the total yardage in front of me, but I'm looking.
Almost 7,400?
Okay. A lot of par 4s, obviously, but it's weird that they have 2 par 5s, 6 and 18, 18 is 590, 6 is 525. Over a 50% birdie rate on 6. They have a pretty drive. I don't know if it's drivable. Number 12 is 389 short, but their toughest one is a 520 yard par 4, 14. That's weird that 525 is a par 5, but 520 is a par 4. 23% bogey rate. Even number 1 has a high bogey rate, 26%. So there's some disaster holes out here. I don't know how, I forget how many holes water covers, but there's going to be some water. You're going to have to hit fairways. In a normal time, I would say probably some winning scores around 8, 9, 10 under. Problem is we got those starting strokes, which we'll get to in a minute. So stat-wise, just kind of looking the tee to green, fairways, the approach, I think you need to give yourself some opportunities. I think some of these guys further back are going to have to get aggressive to have any chance. But you're going to have to also have a good combination of making birdies and avoiding bogeys. And I don't even mind scrambling a little bit just because, get out of the rough, get out of water. If you hit it, try to salvage bogey. I think kind of will be in there. Anything else before we get into kind of the DraftKings game theory part of this?
Well, no, that's where I'm yielding to you and your segmentation, which I think is probably wise given this very unique event.
Yeah, so I've kind of gone back and forth how I'm going to approach this week. Like, I'm playing one lineup. I always play one lineup at this. Like, there's 30 players in the field as of right now. I think there's two question marks. That'd be Will Zalatoris, who tweaked his back or his hip, had to withdraw. Like, he was in some pain too, like watching that go through. And then I'm assuming Cam Smith is playing. I wonder if that hip was just a kind of an excuse to take the week off, but who knows? There might be live rumors swirling around that maybe he says, forget this, but I'm assuming he's playing for the money. Cause if you're going for live, hey, this is another chance of free money. So I don't know how that's going to play out. Like I'd be more sure of Cam Smith playing than Zalatoris. So, but anyway, even if they both play, it's 30 players and you're rostering 6. So you're literally rostering a fifth of the field. If you are a big Sunday showdown golf player, I think you're probably in an advantage here because you understand pricing with, the leader and things like that. Otherwise, you might have to revert a little bit into NFL showdown, or maybe if you play baseball showdown, MLB or basketball, if you play showdown on other sports. I think the theme of this week is you have to be uncomfortable, or you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. This is a week to leave salary on the table. This is a week to try to figure out who's going to be popular and play at most one of them. Like, you got to find some weird pivots. You're going to have to choose a narrative or just choose a golfer and say, you know what? I'm going to go with it. It's a week I think you have to be willing to lose in order to win. Because there's only a certain number of combinations that you have. I think contest selection is massive this week. Like, I am not playing anything that's 150 entry max. I'll play single entry. I'll play three entry. I'll probably play the $3.20 max. That's it. I'm not playing the $5 drive the green for 150 max. There's too many algorithms, too many combinations of lineups that are going to be out there. That's not my style. So that's kind of where I'm coming about it. Just, you're going to have to find some pivots. And yes, you might look, for example, and say, you know what? I like Colin Morikawa a lot better than Corey Connors. Or, no, you know what? Hideki's probably a better name here. I like Morikawa long-term better than Hideki. Who knows what's going on with Hideki with his neck, live, everything like that. But this is a week, you might have to, Hideki feels a little more uncomfortable to click. Here's the thing is, if it feels uncomfortable for you to click, that probably means a lot of people are going to feel uncomfortable. And, I think that's your advantage right there.
I can say, just to piggyback on a couple of things you said there, is one, I was thinking, if I play one lineup, I'm playing it in a single entry, and that's that. And if I want to play it a couple times, I'll play it in a couple single entries. And then I thought, if I want to play three lineups, which I may try to do three lineups, I don't know. I'm still really intrigued by, our conversation that's upcoming here before I get to that. But if I want to play three lineups, I'll play a three entry max, or I'll play three single entries. In various price ranges, but I'm right there with you. I don't plan on playing anything more. I don't really plan on playing anything more than a three entry max. And to the point about I didn't really think about it. It makes sense. You're playing 6 out of 30 golfers. That's 1/5 of the field. I didn't really think about it till you said it like that. I'm like, yeah, wow, you're playing 1/5 of the field. So trying to be unique is going to be extremely difficult when, you know, every 6 lineups in theory could have the entire field in it. Or every 5 lineups, excuse me.
Right. Like, you don't have to be so unique that you're literally starting at Victor Hovland at 8,500 and playing down. Like, that's, I mean, yes, that's going to be very unique, but, you know, there's also the whole, you know, the starting strokes that kind of plays a role into everything with that. I was going to go somewhere with this, and I completely lost my train of thought.
Well, you are going to get finishing point position. So, you know, the guys starting with those advantages early are at an advantage point-wise early. But I do think as you get further down the line, picking guys, the further down I go, the less I'm really considering that finishing position or where they're starting, because you're not getting as many points. You know, you get like, what, 20 points for first? I'm actually not looking at it right now. Is it 20 or 30 points for first? And then it cuts down pretty quickly. So when we get to those later guys, I'm not going to be as worried about they're starting, you know, 25th versus 15th, because that point you're given, those amount of points you're given are not as significant. And certainly that ground could be made up easy too.
Right. I know what I was going to say. Like, if you're playing 3-entry max, this might also be a good week to try something. If you're a multi-entry player, like, this might be a good week to just lock a player, lock two players, you know, or three. Choose a core and just build around it. And it could be, your core could be, you know what, I am playing Cantlay, Burns, and Fitzpatrick. I'm just choosing three random names. It could be, you know what, I'm playing Xander up top, Hovland in the middle, and KH Lee at the end. Or you choose a core, you know, just choose like a core and just lock the lineups, because that's what's going to give yourself the best chance to win. Like, I'm not sure. I mean, yes, min caches are nice, but I don't think you're investing a ton. I don't think I'm investing a ton. I'm assuming most listeners of this podcast are not investing a ton of money into this event. There's a lot of negative EV if you're playing three lineups in 150 max.
Yeah.
So try something. Make a stand. Like, take a stand on a couple of golfers and say, you know what, I'm playing them in every single lineup. Take a stand and say, you know what, maybe the course history phenomenal, the phenomenal course history of Xander Schauffele, or you know what, I'm just not playing Scheffler at 13-6, even though he's starting with the lead. Make a stand. More often than not, you're going to lose. And I think this is one of these game theory things. Like, you have to understand that this is a week that you're not building an optimal lineup to cash. You're going to lose more often than not. What you're trying to do is you're trying to find that lineup that has that high percentage chance that if it hits, you are now funded for as many weeks of NFL as you want to be. And that's what I think that's kind of the goal here, is just to try to aim for the upside combination and just take stands. And if it doesn't work, hey, guess what? You can bet, or you go enjoy college football, or hey, there's the Corn Ferry Tour finals. There's some European golf. You can, you know, just sit back and watch the PGA Tour for fun. But this really, I think, is a week you need to, I mean, oh, every week is, but you need to aim for the top of the prize pools. But especially this one, take a stand. If it's uncomfortable, this is a perfect week to try it, and it's uncomfortable for everybody.
I like it. I kind of took a core of Xander Cantlay last week. They were sort of like the guys I was targeting if I got a late pick in the Pup Cup back on Underdog as well. Uh-huh. So, and it worked. They were a good combo to get on. So I'm with you. I don't know if it'll be the same combo this week, but I'm with you with that thought process. And
right. And again, I'm right. It might lose.
And yeah, of course. And that's the other thing. Oh yeah. That I want to point out. You're like saying, I don't know about you. I am always talking about tournament lineups, GPPs. I mean, it is a losing proposition when you look strictly at the numbers. Only 20% of the lineups cash, right? So obviously, yeah, you're swinging for the fences. You're not swinging for the min cash. If you're doing that, you should be playing cash games and probably maybe not even playing this week.
Right. And one other strategy too, before we get into this, is this might be a week to kind of skip some tiers. You know, one thing I'm kind of thinking of, I might try to not use any of these 5K guys. Like, I think everybody's going to try to load up their lineup, and then, oh, hey, there's a 5K guy that's already going to be extremely popular. You know what? Maybe I end my lineup at, you know, K.H. Lee or the Scott Horsell Thigala range. I think that in itself will be unique. I think maybe even starting, well, I don't know if starting with like a Rahm, Smith, or McElroy will be unique, but maybe I'm only using one guy above 10,000. Just trying to find different combinations that gives yourself enough upside to win.
If you're talking skipping tiers, do you just want to start at the AKs?
I think that might be a little too bold with the starting strokes. I don't know.
No, I meant with the podcast, not the lineup.
Oh.
I was just being a smart aleck.
I mean, do we even want to go in tiers? Do we? I don't even know. This is the weirdest. I hate this format for DFS purposes. This is probably the only tournament that's much, well, maybe not much, only tournament, much better to watch than it is for DFS or betting, because it's a nightmare trying to figure all this out.
I likely won't bet given the, just all the chaos with football going on and the fact that at least the sportsbook I go to, it's not even finishing position. It's your finishing position without the starting strokes in there. I don't know that I'm going to bet. If I work my way out there, it's a miracle.
I've already made one bet in the winner in top five without starting strokes.
Okay. All right. Well, I looked at it, but I haven't made any real conscious effort at it. I was just planning on hitting the lineups this week, but we shall see. It's an ever evolving world.
Yeah. So I guess maybe the tiers here, 10K above, 8s and 9s and 7s and below. Like, I don't know.
Sure. Well, let's just start with the 10K plus like we always do. It's more guys because of, well, the strength of field, starting position, whatever. It's Scheffler is 13-6, Cantlay 1,300, Xander Schauffele 12-3, Will Zalatoris 11-5, John Rahm's 10-9, Rory's 10-8, Cam Smith is 10-4. So, Skeeter, you got a favorite out of all of those?
Yeah. So, if I'm playing if I'm thinking, I don't know where Cam Smith is at, physically, mentally, all the above. Zalatoris, boy, I hope he comes out with some sort of statement on Wednesday. Because if he doesn't say anything Wednesday, I'm tending to think he's probably hurt. And for me playing one lineup, I'm not playing him. If you're playing multiple lineups, I think that's a perfect time to play Zalatoris. You can burn him in some. But that means, that could be a couple spots up. And somebody who loves this course at 10-4 is Rory. He has won here twice, I think.
I believe that's correct.
So he's one of the... There's like three guys who I think are complete course horses here. And
that is correct.
I might just play those three and figure it out down below. But Rory, to me, at least has that upside where I think he could win or at least threaten a top three. He's starting in seventh. Yeah, he's won here twice. Let's see. On the sheet that we have, which I probably need to freeze here. I have 2020. I have for the past 2 years where they finished as far as total strokes and where they actually finished. So, Rory 14th last year in both. He was 8th in 2020. He finished 8th, but finished 7th in strokes. But he has the history here, pretty good. Two wins, a second prior to that. He feels cheap at 10-8. I know he's starting 6 back. 6 back for Rory over 4 days doesn't seem impossible.
Mm-mm.
So I think for those reasons, he's probably my favorite. As I'm looking, he is the second most popular in this range.
Well, what do you want to bet the most popular Xander Schauffele? Because I like Rory second to Xander 1.
You would be a winner.
Yeah, and that makes it hard for me to go with him. I think what I'm deciding here is, like, if I'm going to go three lineups and have a core, my core is not going to be in this 10K plus tier because I'll use Xander or I'll use Rory. I'm not going to try and push both of those in a lineup, I don't think.
The three most popular here are Rory, Xander, Rory, Rahm.
I can get with it. I get it. I think what you said too, because I already thought the same. If I'm playing three lineups, which I probably will, I've got to either have a Cam Smith or a Will Zalatoris lineup. Any uncertainty, like I will burn the whatever $5, $3, whatever lineup it is, right? Whatever the $10 for that very reason, because I've got to have one lineup maybe with just some diversity from the field is of what the expectations will be.
Okay, so this is early on a Monday night. Cam Smith is around 17, Zalatoris 19. Canley's like 21, Scheffler 23. Like, if all of a sudden, if people are just going to just jump down to Xander, Rahm, and Rory, I'm now all of a sudden very interested in Scheffler and Cantlay. Because they are...
Cantlay for me, for sure.
Yeah, I might like Scheffler a little bit more. Like, this almost feels like maybe this is one of those paying up to be contrarian and find some unique way to build with Scheffler. But if I start with Scheffler, I'm probably avoiding... Or Cantlay. I'm avoiding Xander. I'm avoiding Rahm and Rory. Sure. And if I do that, maybe one guy in the nines, that's going to be very popular. Then I think I've given myself enough leverage that I at least have I've created a unique path that is very plausible, especially with the guy who, hello, is starting with the lead and who right. was in contention all the way to the end yesterday.
I think there's still a lot to chew on. I think as it stands right now, I would say Xander's my one and Roy's my two, but you make a compelling reason for me to say that Cantlay's my one. And he's obviously playing well as well, but I'll stand with where I started. That doesn't mean by the time I set lineups, that's where we are at.
Right. No, I'm probably not making any decisions to Wednesday night. I'll reserve all my contests with my dummy lineup and then kind of really look at it Wednesday night. But if this is early, this Scheffler-Cantlay combination, one of those two, is very intriguing to me. I don't think what you want to do, I'm going to see if you can even make it work. You don't want to start Cantlay-Scheffler. Because then you're left with 58-50, and now you're forced to, there's only certain combinations, and I think there'll be enough people to do it. In single entry, you can kind of build however you want. There's going to be enough uniqueness, but if you're playing 3 entry, 20 entry, 50 max, 150 entry max, I don't think you want to start Scheffler Cantlay or Scheffler Schauffele or anything like that, because it limits the number of combinations available and people are going to have those.
That's a really good point. Not necessarily that people would start with that combination, but the fact that once you do, there's only so many more options left. That's a really good point there. You got a fade out of this tier?
No. I mean, if Xander's going to push 40%, yes, that's just that I will take my chances on that one.
That's hard to argue with. Like, I'm going to say Rahm would be my fade just because I like the other two guys that are popular, but your point makes a lot of sense. I don't know how my fade could be my favorite player, though. That would be weird.
No, because, again, what did I say? We have to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable this week.
That's a good point. That's a good time to come back to that right there. That's a good point, man.
Yep.
All right, well, let's do the little 9-8K combo since we've got a pretty good range of players here. It's Sam Burns, 99, Finau's 96, JT's 94, Sungjae Im, 91, Cam Young, 9K, Fitzpatrick, 88, Hovland, 85, Neiman, 83, Hideki's, 81, Corey Connors, 8K even. Skeeter, how do you split this all up? What do you got?
Well, again, so I mentioned how I might start with Scheffler or Cantlay if they're, you know, that kind of opens, you know, Finau's going to be the most popular. He probably deserves it. Like, I know he had a horrible round one on Thursday, but he actually kind of played okay the rest of the time.
He did.
But there's another guy sitting here right now around 25, 26%. And, you know, I think he has a pretty good history here. I'm going to double check before I confirm this. He's number one here. Okay. Yes, he does. I see nothing worse than a seventh. He was fourth in both strokes and finish last year. 2020, he was second finish, third in strokes. And 9,400 Justin Thomas, to me, just feels like a standout.
I mean, how high is his ownership going to get to?
25. He might approach 30, but again, I think this is where, again, it's not the ownership you have to worry about. It's the combination
okay.
of players, right? Like I'm assuming you're going to see a lot of people start Rory JT or Xander JT. How many people are starting Scheffler JT? And maybe you find some other not real popular guy down below once we get to, down to that range, and I think you're okay. Like, if I start Scheffler JT, I'm left with 6750. That's going to be a slightly uncomfortable build, even if you throw in somebody in the 5K range. People are just not going to want to do that.
So here's the deal. JT stands out. The course history is out of this world. I want to make him my one, but as we have this conversation throughout the tiers, then I think, okay, well, should he be my favorite player if he's going to be popular? At that ownership level, I would say I'm very comfortable with it. I have my eye on Joaquin Niemann. I'm wondering what popularity he'll have. He doesn't show strong course history. In this group of 30, I don't know if he still stands out as an elite player, but he's been playing some really good golf lately.
Yeah, he's not going to jump up popularity, but I thought he was popping somewhere in the stats. Let me see. Nope, it wasn't that one. Yeah, short-term form, he is 12 rounds or less. He's top 10, so top third of the field. What did he do last week? Probably ball striking. Yeah, his irons are there. His putter has actually not been awful. 8th at BMW, 13th at St. Jude to start the playoffs. He's gained off the tee around the green, hit or miss, but nothing significant. Same with putting, nothing significant. He starts in 18th, so he starts, what, minus 2?
I think that's right.
He feels to me... Let's see, does he have any history here?
Not good.
Yeah, it's not great. He feels kind of like... I don't know why you would play cash games, but he almost feels kind of like that cash game play where he starts 17th, he'll end up 14th. And I just don't know if he scores enough. Like, I don't think he's a disaster, but I don't know if I see the win equity or the threatened top five equity like I do with a couple others around here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick with him. I like the fact that maybe nobody else will.
Yeah, that's, I mean... I'm flipping between too many windows right now. Yeah, there is nobody in this. Well, there's one person. Basically, you have a little bit of a gap of sub 20% from Cam Young down to Hideki. So that might be the range. If you can find somebody in there to take a chance on, and you know, you say Niemann. I mean, I'm gonna keep going to Vic.
Sure.
He was on fire on Sunday. Shot 65. Like, you know, sometimes we see that final round and he, you know, and that just spurs him on. I don't think he also has a very good history here. Oh no, yes he does. He was 4th in strokes, 5th finish. Even I want to say he might have started up higher last year. 14th in strokes, 20th in finish in 2020. He feels like, again, I want guys who I think could, if they hit their absolute ceiling, could go make up 5-6 shots over the course of 4 days and threaten Scheffler and Cantlay in them. I think Victor, with his A game, could. I don't think he has his A game, but I think it's starting to kind of show signs of life.
I like the idea there. I like the concept there when you're picking a player from down here. You said Tony Finau would be popular?
Yes.
All right, because he's another guy I have my eye on, and maybe if I'm going to go with a popular player, it would be Justin Thomas before it would be Tony Finau at this location.
Now, you want to know who the least popular person in this range is?
Who would that be?
Take a guess.
I mean, the answer, oh, gosh, I don't know. Hideki?
Yes.
Just because of the – he had a neck issue, right?
Yes, he's kind of been battling it off and on all year. Really, since the U.S. Open, missed at Genesis, 68th at the Open, 35th at BMW. He didn't play St. Jude?
That's correct. I think maybe he withdrew from that. But then he did play the BMW and, quite frankly, was okay. Okay. He was 35th.
Like, Hideki's just such a wild card. I mean... He always is a wild card.
It's true.
But again, you want to try to get leverage in the field. If you're going to start, if you start something like Shoffley Rory, throw Hideki in, and all of a sudden you have yourself a pretty unique path. Like, people are not starting Xander, Rory, Hideki. And while I usually play Hideki where he's showing some form, he's one who can kind of pop out of nowhere every now and then.
Yeah, I worry about him because he's burned me lately, but that doesn't change the fact that when he won the Masters, I had that ticket for that simple reason, that he could pop and his number was 50-1.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm fading Sam Burns. I was thinking about fading Hideki, but I think I'll fade Sam Burns.
Yeah, where is he starting at? He must be starting high for this price. Yeah, -5. Yeah, he just hasn't really. He's been okay, but he's not somebody I'm really excited about.
I would rather play Hovland or JT, or probably even Cam Young still.
Yeah, Corey Connors is going to get a lot of attention. He rates out really well in the stats and coming off the fifth at BMW, where his irons were on fire. You know, he's put up some other solid finishes. Like, where's he starting at? He is -1, so he would have some work to do.
Should I go through the rest of the names, 7K and beyond? You just want to pick and choose from these the rest of this crew?
I'd say it's just pick and choose.
Okay, because I'm not really sure where I'm going. I think I have a favorite down here, but goodness gracious, there's probably three guys that I like in this range, and I don't know. They'll probably all be popular.
Let's see. Well, there's two that are gaining a lot of attention.
Adam Scott's got to be one of them.
He would be one of them, yes.
He's one of the three guys that I'm very interested in here.
You want to talk about, you know, when they literally say anybody can make it, this is true. I mean, he had to go fifth at St. Jude, fifth at BMW just to get it. He was so far down. Like, if I remember on Sunday at St. Jude, he started this round projected outside the cut to make it to Wilmington. BMW. Yeah. And he shot a nice round, and then he had to kind of, you know, he had a really good week all throughout. The putter was really good at St. Jude. He was just good all around last week. Like, the irons a little bit back. Obviously, I know he's played here, but it's been a long time.
He's got a decent history, too, no?
6th, 8th, and 9th, those last three times, and that was before the weighted strokes, but I could be wrong on that.
He is most assuredly one of my favorites. Is he on your radar, or is there somebody else you're throwing out there?
I'm not going to play him. You know, I told you I made one bet in the non-starting strokes market.
Yeah.
90-1 to be the winner without starting strokes. 8-1 for a top five. What has Scott Stallings done recently to make you think he couldn't just continue this form?
Is he super popular? Because he's the second of the three guys I like down here.
He's popular, but not super popular. He's coming around 23%. So he's going to be third in this range, the 7K and below. Or 79, the 7,900 and below.
He missed the cut at St. Jude, the FedEx St. Jude. And I'm glad I went back to the well last week. I will go back to the well again this week with Stallings.
I mean, he's a debutant, so that's the only issue. But, you know, where's he starting at? He is starting... Where is he starting at? Oh, he's starting at 3-under.
That's a nice advantage there over the guys that are at even 1 and 2.
Yeah.
That's proving that I know how to count, in case you were not sure about that.
Very good.
Oh, who else is we liking down here, Skeeter? Those are two guys that stood out to me.
I can see Tom Hoagie picking him a little steam just because he's bone minimum 5K, and he's actually starting -1.
Birdie upside, too, right? Like, the guy can go out and make some birdies.
You can also tank early, but...
That's okay. Like, you don't even care in this tournament. Not that you don't care, but...
Yeah. No, my two guys, I mean... I know you're going to jump on me. You're going to jump with me on this bandwagon because we've been on it all year. Thigala at 6,700.
Most assuredly.
And then he was so joyous to make it because last year he was number 31. He missed. And I believe this also got him a spot in the President's Cup, even though he's not officially on the team. I believe, you know, simply making the East, like, we'll get him on. KH Lee at 6K. Like, I realize this isn't a TPC course, so that's, you know, always a slight issue for KH Lee. But he kind of showed a little bit hanging around last week. His putter has been good. His approach has been good. Off the tee's been good. Around the green, not great. But 20th at St. Jude, 5th at BMW, he has some good form. At 6K, I mean, I'd rather play him than any of the four down below him.
Shot a 65 on Sunday, like your boy Hovland, too. Yeah. Right? He thrust himself up to the top of the leaderboard for a moment.
Yes, because he posted 10, right? Like, I at one thought, like, thought, oh, he's like 200 to 1 once he's finished. I'm going to throw a dollar on this just in case the top collapses.
As we were finishing the football program yesterday and I was getting ready to go do fantasy drafts, I was obviously dialed in because I had a good lineup. And, he was making a run, and I was super cheering against it since he wasn't in my lineup.
Yeah, I know. Like, what are you doing? Come on. I got a Morikawa top five. Well, there were some other issues with that. So, the 10 out of par five hurt that one. But the most popular in this range is going to be Aaron Wise, just because he rates out really well statistically. I think he made a run yesterday to get in 15th at BMW. He was 31st at St. Jude, 13th at Wyndham. Here's my two issues. Number one, he's going to be popular in the 5Ks. Number two, the past 2 weeks around the green, he's lost two shots and three shots. That's not going to serve you well at Eastlake. I don't think it will anyway.
I feel like Brian Harmon needs some consideration at 5,700. I know you said you don't like the four below Lee. Talk me out of Harmon if there's a reason to.
Well, let's take a look at old Brian Harmon. I mean, he's doing things when I mean, we do like him at major courses. He'll find fairways, just not rating out really well anywhere else. Shorter term, like eight rounds to the playoffs, he's actually rating out decently well. What has he been doing? His approaches have been really good. Putter was off last week, which does happen with him. Off the tee, I think he kind of get away with it a little bit here. I don't hate it. Is he real popular? No, he is not.
Okay, I like to hear that. I mean, can we not mention Billy Horschel at 6,900? I figure we have to at least mention his name. He's won this thing.
Has he done anything here besides that?
Yes and no. Second in 2018, was the worst in 2020 of the people that made it there, and was ninth in finish, seventh in strokes here last year. Seventh in strokes again this year at this price would be fantastic at 6,900.
Yeah, the problem is he's losing strokes off the tee. He's not gaining a ton on approach. He is, but there's just right now just no numbers that are really popping up. But again, if you look at, you know, what did he do before he won the Memorial? Miscut at Schwab, 60th at the PGA, 21st at Heritage, 43rd at Masters. Like, that's just kind of Billy Ho's game. So, again, why not? If you have a case for him, I mean, here's a guy who has won, who has played well here in the past, go for it.
Skeeter, do you have a fade in this territory?
Yeah, it's going to be Aaron Wise, just for the reasons that we mentioned. The fact that I don't like his around the green, and he's going to be really popular. Like, that just is enough for me. And again, I have to play a little bit of game theory this week. He gives me enough of a reason why. So I'm going to go there.
I'm going to fade Morikawa. I'm just not, I don't love the guy, you know, fan wise. Like, I got nothing against him. He's never been a guy I've cheered for. And his Sunday was so bad. I don't know how popular he would be because of that. I mean, maybe that's the reason to get on him. But at 7,900, there seem to be some guys like Neiman, even Matsuyama or Hovland I'd pay up for, or I'd go down to Stallings.
Yeah. Morikawa's interesting. Like, again, if you get rid of that water ball, he was kind of in contention. He's kind of been in contention the past 2 weeks. And that when you see 7,900 for Morikawa, you're thinking, whoa.
Right.
When was the last time we saw that? Where is he popularity-wise? Yeah, he's around 20%. Like,
not crazy.
Okay, would you rather play him or Connors?
I have no success with Morikawa.
Okay.
You have guys like that. I have guys like that. Yep. I have no success with him. Like, at this point, I'm like, man, I just hope he gets popular so that I get more reason to fade him.
You know who's not popular, surprisingly? Spieth.
He was hot for a minute last week, and then...
Did you see that on Saturday with him and Geller?
Greller? I saw it, yeah, where he tried to talk him out of hitting a shot, and he hit it in the water.
Spieth's like, I'm hitting this. This one's on me. Kerplunk. Yeah. Like, the ball was closer to not clearing the water than it was clearing. Like,
correct.
He was in the front part of the pond. It was just like, and then he completely tanked from there.
Now, you want to talk about Jordan Spieth being relatable. Me hitting a shot and then going, oh, God, be bad enough not to get to the water. That's about as relatable to Jordan Spieth as I could be right there.
Oh, absolutely. Like, stop short.
Correct. Yeah, be worse than I think it is. Oh, goodness. Is there anything else from the DraftKings angle here, Skeeter? I think we haven't said it per se, but with the idea of playing single lineup, like, this isn't a week to go crazy with the budget for sure.
Or if it is, just understand the concepts you're playing, max them out, and take stands. But yes, this is not a week for me to do that. I'm just going to play one lineup. I wouldn't really worry about your currently winning on Thursday or Friday. It's going to take a couple days potentially for these starting positions to kind of even out a little bit. And maybe even Saturday probably doesn't mean much, but Sunday, yeah, it's going to start meaning something.
Skeeter, it's over. My one and done was exceptional. If 3,907th place is considered exceptional.
Hey, it pays the same as the first spot that didn't pay.
That's true. Good news, I went out with another bang. I took Justin Thomas. He got me 35,000. Not exactly what I was looking for. I can't believe that I never asked you this over the weekend. We talked a little lineups. I was doing a lot of drafts, but how'd you end up in one and done?
I finished like 481st, which is good for 275. Like,
cool.
I was just trying to stay above 500 because 501 dropped down to 250. So I at least got to that extra $25. So, yeah, first time cashing in one and done, and which means when I look at my entries paid for the Mayo Cup in the past 3 years, I've paid $275. My total winnings, $275.
And you know the rule. Breaking even is winning big.
Absolutely. Hey, 2 years of entertainment, including a terrible fall swing, which you and I might have been competing for last place in that fall swing one last year.
I'm sure I'll get in it again.
I don't know if I will.
I will. I'm a sucker for action.
Well, then, damn it, you're going to make me get into it. Because you're like, well, here's all right, I'm joining. You need to join. Fine.
We got a day or two to think about it, right? We're still finishing this season before we, even though those contests have opened.
I think we have a little more than a day because they'll open up multiple ones. Like, there's enough diehards. We'll play it.
There's enough of us out there.
Yeah.
Skeeter, you got anything else for the Tour Championship?
Not for the Tour Championship, no.
You got anything else on the culmination of the golf season as a whole?
No, just, you know, James and I kind of hinted at this a little bit ago, you know, a few weeks ago. We're not going to do every single fall swing. I don't know how many we're going to do. I imagine we will do some. My schedule, despite the fact I keep saying I need to take some things off my plate, that just doesn't happen. In fact, more and more gets added to it. So,
I'm yeah. The same way.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what? I need to cut things out. Nope. Here's some more stuff to do. So I don't know how often we're going to do a podcast. Maybe we'll try for a couple of the bigger ones. And I don't even know what the bigger ones are. We might have to do Shriners just because, you know, it's typically a tournament we like and it usually draws a few decent golfers. I don't, you know, was it the CJ Cup? But yeah, it's going to be hit or miss, at least in the fall. I would assume come January when we're dreaming of those, you know, when James and I are suffering in the cold weather of northern Kentucky and central Illinois, and snow on the ground, and we're watching on a, you know, Thursday night, and oh, look at Kapalua. Oh,
it's calling. It's calling.
We'll be ready by then, too. So I would expect us fully back from regular schedule for the Tournament of Champions. We'll be off and on, very inconsistent, I think, during the fall swing. But you know, when, you know, have those notifications on when we produce one, you will know about it. And I, of course, will retweet it from the My Fantasy Fix account. I know James will as well.
I'll be setting lineups even if we don't get a podcast, then rest assured.
And feel free, if you're listening to this, you want to know our thoughts. I mean, yeah, James and I are still going to play. We just probably won't be doing the podcast. Tweet at us. We'd love to get in conversations. You know, heck, him and I might start debating, and you might just join the debate with us on Twitter. That'd be great.
There you go. Well, Skeeter, I'm glad I finally saw what, like, cashing and bank account surplus look like again before we wrapped up this season.
I know. Yeah.
It was forever.
I kept saying, you're due.
I feel like I still am, but I will take what I got, and we'll march into the tour championship, we'll march into football season, and we'll march into the fall swing, my man.
That's right.
Well, Skeeter, thank you for another good season. We'll be back to it soon enough. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We certainly do appreciate you, and one more final time for this season, not this calendar year, but this PGA Tour season. He's Skeeter Robinson. I'm James Adams, and this has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.